Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I have got some pushback about my Jose stuff. The question of what they can, what they've done, have they done right by him? Have they done right by Jose? It's a difficult question to answer. I don't know if any of us has a full answer, but I think we have no shortage of opinions on it. And my issue was, again, it's a frustrating time. It's the perfect time of year for something like that to percolate because it's a June swoon. They're on the road. They have not played well. They haven't played well in a couple of weeks. They've so far had one of the tougher schedules in Major League Baseball. Oh, and you said sixth toughest schedule in Major League Baseball. Yeah. They're about to be turning it into the 28th toughest schedule in Major League Baseball. Thank you very much for that fact. It's been a rough stretch for them. And people start to get frustrated and they toy with the notions. And one of the notions that some of the people have toyed with is slaughtering a sacred cow, something you can't do. And in most sports, nobody is above the organization. And in some a lot of towns, nobody's above the organization. Like, do you think Cooper Flagg's going to be really good?
Good. I don't know if he's going to be transcendent.
Will he be Luka good?
No, I don't think
okay. So you could try to wrap yourself around that idea if you want to. But it's had a very, very, very bad effect in the Luka trade with the Dallas Mavericks. I think this would be Luka-esque even worse. There are people who go to the ball games, and this is a ticket-driven organization. Boy, they've pounded that down your throat. They go to the ball games to see him. And then you know what? They understand if he doesn't play. That's how much he's loved. Like, if you go on a Sunday, like I told you, I took Axel to that Astros game a couple years ago, and he wasn't in the lineup on a Sunday, and he's like, where's Jose? And I go, he's got the day off, and we all understand. It's a getaway day. Like, what other player has that?
Yeah, you don't say, oh, it's load management for Jose.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Okay, do you care?
That's how
obviously
loved he is
here. Stats are still like, his stats make it look like he's in his prime, but the reality is he's 32. So you don't expect him to be able to continue to put up these numbers for many more years after this, right? So I didn't even expect him to have these numbers this year. So does it matter at all if we're talking like if there was a blockbuster trade out there? That if you got this all-time return, I know this isn't the NBA, it's not the NFL, we don't think of it in those terms.
I know you
does it matter to you that he's not technically in his athletic prime anymore?
No, I know I'm supposed to say
Luka, never. Luka was in his prime when he got traded.
I know you I'm not supposed to say deal. Never, say never. I'm saying never. I'm saying never. I don't know what he'll be at the end of the contract and what age he'll be at the end of the contract, I should say, where he will be at in his prowess at the end of the deal. But my God, Like, he may get to the end of the deal, and he might have a little bit left in him, and then some team might want to. I can't deny those thoughts. But he is the organization, folks. He is the city, and there's been some. I get the frustration, man, but you're toying around with some dangerous stuff. That's dangerous. And you want to talk about, hey, we're a three-sport town. Lima, you mention all the time, you know, are we a real sports town? You guys only want to talk about the Browns sometimes, only football sometimes. Don't want to get into the Cavs the way you want to, or maybe get into the Guardians the way I want to and so many stuff. You're going to kill it. You will kill it right here in the city. If that guy has anything left and you moved on from him, they'd never forgive the organization. If you were going to do it, you better make sure that David Blitzer takes over right after because they'll never forgive you. He can't make that trade. New guy can't come in and make that trade. Old guy still can't make that trade. Because then Paul Dolan's from here. He doesn't want to be reviled for the rest of his life here. Maybe I could always try to defend it in some way. I don't want to. But you could always go, hey, you know what? Like when he finally does relinquish command of the Guardians as the principal owner and were to give way to David Blitzer or whoever else, I could go, hey, you know what? He was a sound businessman. I know some people are rolling their eyes as hard as they can. This is baseball, guys. This is what we do in Major League Baseball. He's a sound businessman, kept the right people in place. made the right investments when it comes to players. They were a pretty successful franchise. They just never got over the hump. They came as close as you could without doing it. And I can respect that to a certain level. Didn't like what he had to say about Francisco Lindor a few years ago at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards, but that would probably get eschewed somewhere else. But man, you make that move, that's like, you didn't move the team. That's not Modell territory. That's pretty damn close for a lot of fans out there. 216-474-0092. Mike and Elyria, you're first up on the Fan. Yellow.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know what? I'm going to have to disagree with you and push back a little bit here. I don't think that they've done right by him. As a matter of fact, I think that they've done nothing. We're talking about an organization that not too long ago had not only Jose Ramirez, but Francisco Lindor on the same roster and did nothing then. They didn't go all in. They haven't.
What do you mean? What year are you talking about? 2017, they definitely went all in. 2016, they got Andrew Miller. 2017, Encarnacion.
Yeah.
I guess I can give you that. But I mean,
Andrew Miller went on one of the great postseason runs of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I would say that you have Jose Ramirez, a guy who's given you a once in a lifetime discount. You will never, ever see that again. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Yep.
To trade this guy would be Rocky Colavito
esque. It'd be awful.
And I look at the lineup that they've surrounded him with. I mean, we had not just a week ago, we had, what is his name? Will Wilson playing second base. I tell you what, they've signed some guys in the bullpen, okay? Yeah, because you can never have enough pitching. I would have kept Pedro Avila over some of those guys that they've brought in. Matt Festa, that's your big signing. You bought him from the Texas Rangers.
Well, Mike,
what have you done with position players?
Well, Mike, I can't rid
of one position player. You got rid of two. And I know you're going to say, hey, it's great. They got out of that Jimenez contract.
They did
get
out
of that. They're the idiots that signed them to it in the first place.
Yeah, they were. They were, but they at least got out of that contract. You could still be eating that contract. That's not a good defense. It doesn't.
How does that benefit the Cleveland Guardians?
It doesn't. It doesn't.
How does that benefit them?
It doesn't. I'm not yelling at you. Say, you notice I'm not getting mad at you in red face and saying, getting all emotional and vulgar with you, Mike. Because listen, I think a lot of people would agree with you on that. I do. Right. The only thing I can offer is something that you're not going to accept is that they get their salary from their television deal. That was a rug that was pulled out from under them. And we could talk about how much more money they get when it comes to merchandise, when it comes to the television revenue that's shared with Major League Baseball and how much millions of dollars they get just to open up the door. I know we can get to a big thing. There are very big operating expenses that they have to meet to that. And I know you're not going to accept that, but that's just the truth of the matter of what it is.
I understand what you're saying 100%, and I agree. They're in a tough bind right now. But I will also come back to you and say this. When they did have a television deal, they were very satisfied being on the fringe. They were very satisfied with that because – and I'll tell you another thing. If they were to trade Jose Ramirez, I will walk away from this organization, like you said, and never come back.
A million.
I'm already halfway there because of just the lack of spending. And it's not even just the Guardians. It's baseball in general because I've been saying for years, they need a floor and they need a ceiling.
Yes, yes.
And until they fix that, yes, baseball's in trouble. And they keep ignoring the fact. And then they're worried about going out, having 45 different streaming places for baseball and everything. They're going about this all wrong. They're losing more people, I think, than they're gaining.
When they were on the fringe, I don't disagree with any of that, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. When they were on the fringe, like you call it the fringe, they're in a very weird spot where they were trying to thread a needle. They spent what? Their most they spent was $133 million there in 2017 after the 2016 season. Now, I got to go check the numbers on that. It's in that neighborhood of the 130 millions or somewhere in there. You were right. I mean, they went out, they got Edwin Encarnacion, they went out and they got Andrew Miller. These were good things that they did. They went out, they tried to bring in other guys. What they are fearful of, what they cannot afford, and this is the difference, they can't afford the 10-year, $300 million contract. Like, we're talking about the Yankees on the phone yesterday. Yeah, they couldn't get Juan Soto for $765 million for 15 years. They still went out and got a great pitcher in Max Fried for what? Almost 300? What was it? $218 million? That's their consolation prize in New York, is Max Fried, a Cy Young pitcher who no one can hit. for triple digits millions. We got one triple digit guy. That's all we're going to have. So you can't go out and you could pay the front of it, maybe. You could pay the first year or two, maybe. And then you get to a point where like, hey, I got to trade this guy. And if he gets hurt, I got to pay the freight on all of it. All of it. So you can't afford the last 7 years of a contract or 8 years even. And so these other teams, when we start to get in these matches, we're not the only team that's doing this. There's 27 other teams that are doing this. 26 other teams because we're the 27th. There's three teams in there that are able to do something different. There's a couple teams that are actually able to do it, but they're not going to be wanting to or willing to. Matt on the road, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Wonderful, Matt. You go right on ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, you know, I'm just delighted by this conversation. First off, Jose just needs to walk in and just be like, look, do right by me. Get me the you-know-what out of here because this organization is not serious about winning. Everyone, everyone can throw out that Encarnacion, Andrew Miller thing. The only reason they spent on that was if you look back in 2016, 2017, whenever that was, there was a sale of a company called BAMTech where each team got a stipend or something, and that's literally the money they used. The second that money dried up, out went Miller, out went Encarnacion.
So they used the money they got from a sale on their players. We're mad about this?
Well, but what I'm saying is they only used that money.
Wait. You wanted them to spend money on players. You're giving me an example where they spent an influx of money on players. What's the problem?
Okay, but the whole point is the second that extra money that wasn't theirs went in, they start cutting payroll again.
Because they can't afford it anymore.
Well, okay, so Ken, where did that extra revenue from the playoffs go? Where did the revenue from Guardians TV go?
I would imagine operational costs. I mean, you have a TV deal.
That's the problem, though. They just lost like $45-50 million on their TV deal, and it's going to be $45-50 next year, and it's going to be $45. They don't have any bidders. This town, unfortunately, towns like this, there's no regional
money
deal.
To make money, guys.
If I had $120 million coming in over the next 3 years, and then I got it chopped down to $30 million over the next 3 years, some guys are going to have to go.
Okay, well, real quick question here. You guys got me, Nona?
Yeah.
Okay, so these guys are claiming they're poor. What happened with this Buckeye Leadership Fund with the Dolans? Like, they clearly have money for politics, but you're claiming that you're too poor to run a baseball team, small market.
Well, they're not poor. They're not poor. No, Matt, no one's claiming they're poor. They're not. And thank you very much for the call. They got $4.6 billion as a family sitting in the family trust. They're not poor, but they're going to operate the business as a business. It's hard for me to demand them to go in the red as a business. If you go into the red as a business, they're always going to protect themselves. So I'm not trying to stick up for a billionaire here in this case, because yes, his family is worth billions of dollars, but he's going to operate the organization as a business, and it's protected that organization because, yeah, he could operate into the red, and they can end up winning 87 games this next year and getting bounced into the wild card, and then all of a sudden he's got to let people go because his family's not going to let him spend into the red. You're not going
to
do that.
I heard what you said there, Owen. You said, well, you got to spend money to make money.
I was saying that sarcastically.
I know, but there are people that believe that, but if they went out and got one free agency
when you call in and go, well, they got money, so they spent it, but now they're not spending because they don't have money.
Well,
do people calling in with that thought processing, what's your bill situation at home? Are you living in a cardboard box now because you went out and got all the nicest appliances and couldn't afford it, but you're in the red now?
Well, your issue is because he's got to keep more than just the players employed.
It sucks that it's a business, guys, but it's a business. Like, because it's not a business for us.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, it's not a business for me.
And the advantage,
it's how I enjoy my summer.
Yes, and the advantage that the other sports get that they don't is that you don't really get to talk. You don't have to turn it into a business every time you talk about it. Give me the baseball talk that doesn't turn everything, with the exception of three cities, that doesn't turn everything into a business.
Yeah, they're fielding the same calls.
Two cities, really.
They're fielding the same calls in like 20-plus other cities.
Even St. Louis. Well,
they're going to cut back.
Yes. I mean, again, that's the fundamental problem with Major League Baseball. So when a guy like Mike Elyria calls in and he's exasperated with it, yeah, he's leading the club. Of all those guys. The thing that bothers me is, well, they're an unserious franchise. No, if they were an unserious franchise, they'd be firing everybody left and right. You'd have the owner out there making decisions for it. That's what you would be doing. That's not a serious franchise. This is a serious franchise that, yes, is binded by the money that they don't have compared to the other ones. And if that's an excuse, fine. To hell with it. You could do a hell of a lot worse. And you have with owners in the past. You guys have been trying to run Darius Garland out of town. I've heard you. I've heard a certain reporter from Cleveland.com trying to run Darius Garland out of town. Should I ask Danny if he's number three?
Go ahead.
Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs podcast, the inside shot on Substack, Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan, the Saturday Evening Post. Danny. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Danny.
Good morning.
You trying to run Darius Garland out of town?
No, I think it would be an unwise decision unless that the Cavs are blown away by an offer to trade Darius Garland. I think that he's still growing and getting better as a player. And I think that if you are going to trade Darius Garland, maybe the time to have this conversation is a year from now if the Cavs don't succeed in the postseason next year the way that we anticipate them to or expect them to, I guess would probably be a better way to phrase that. But I think trading Darius Garland just to trading Darius Garland is not the best exercise in team building.
Take that. Take that tone.
I think we're all then agreeing. I mean, none of us want to just dump Darius Garland and we instantly get better. I mean, the goal is to try to make a move that makes you a little more diverse than they are right now, which is crazy, Danny, because in the regular season, I sat there and lauded so much of what they were able to do under Kenny Atkinson, all the different ways that they can play. And then the playoffs, it got right back to the similar formula of the issues they had. And I'm obviously not talking about the Miami series because that wasn't much of an NBA playoff series. But right. the one that they end up losing, it just seemed to be a very similar formula. And I know Darius was injured, but they just had a lot of the same problems they've had every year. So that's what makes this so tough. I'm trying to figure out a way where they can be better suited to make a deep playoff run.
I think the thing that I keep coming back to as I think about that is everything, a lot of the things that Darius Garland provides is a lot of what the Cavs were missing in that series, right? Because he provides, I think, a really good pressure release outlet. He's somebody that can obviously handle the basketball, I think, better than anybody else on that roster. And the way that the Pacers put the Cavs under pressure for 48 minutes a night and really only having Donovan Mitchell as a guy that you trust to be able to break that down, to be able to bring the ball up so frequently. I mean, we saw early in the series Ty Jerome having the ball stolen from him before he gets across half court. I believe that was in game one or maybe game two. But there were so many instances like that where it's like, man, a healthy Darius Garland would help out in so many ways. I keep going back to game three, and Darius wasn't very good in that game. He could not move all that well. Mm-hmm. And I believe he dealt with foul trouble too. But that was the game where the Cavs just most looked like the Cavs because they weren't under this immense pressure the entire time because they had somebody else who could help them to break it a little bit. And I just keep coming back to that and saying, man, if Darius Garland were healthy, I wonder what that series would have looked like. Not even saying that the Cavs would have won, but I think that they would have at least as a team looked much different. And that is something that I don't know if it's worth trading him just because he was hurt and it didn't go your way.
Hell yeah, Danny, you're on my side. How's it feel?
Oh, it's the feeling I've been searching for my whole life, Ken.
Feels like another second round exit. Danny Cunningham joining us right now on the hotline. So, Danny, right now, that was cheap. I'm sorry. Okay, so Desmond Bane gets traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Orlando Magic. And obviously, we played the Magic a couple of years ago. That was a rough, rough series. That was the team we handpicked. And we barely got by them despite the fact they had never been in the postseason. Last year, they didn't have Suggs. It was a cavalcade of injuries for them. And they are using injuries as an excuse just like we are. They go get Bane. And I'm hearing a lot of the NBA people fall in love with the trade for them despite having to give up the amount of picks that they gave. What do you think, Danny? Because my takeaway was I still have the Cavs ahead of the Magic in the regular season. But I think a playoff series against them has just gotten exponentially tougher if they're healthy.
So I think that the Magic are better, but I don't think, and this is the thing that I can't wrap my head around because I'm with you. I've seen a lot of people that just love this trade. To me, the biggest issue for the Orlando Magic is they do not have a point guard that...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That is good enough offensively that can help them to get, because I think Paolo Banchero is an awesome basketball player. I like Franz Wagner. I don't love Franz Wagner, but they don't have that guy that can get things set up for them offensively. That's why, you know, maybe we heard them as a team that could be interested in Darius Garland, because he would be a perfect fit there. He's everything that they need. Desmond Bain makes them better. He makes them more talented. But I keep looking at the situation, and this is even before thinking about what they gave up. I don't know that he solves the issues that they have. Like, he makes them tougher. He makes them better, certainly. And they were already, I think, a tough team that, as you said, dealt with a lot of injuries last year. But they've been a bottom 10 offense in the NBA every year since Dwight Howard left. And I really think they need a star caliber point guard to break that. I think that they are probably still a bottom half of the league offense because they just don't have the playmaking and the ball handling that you need, as we just got done talking about with the Cavs, that they so sorely missed in the postseason. It's hard for me to imagine this Orlando Magic team just having an immense amount of success in the postseason without having a real point guard like that. And the thing about giving up what they gave up, I don't know how they go and get that guy now, because I do not believe they have a tradable first-round pick left with everything they gave up. Do you want to trade Jalen Suggs? Maybe, but even then, his contract is $30 million and goes down. Like, you might have trouble finding the ability to pay a point guard the amount of money that he probably makes. So I have some serious questions about what they're going to look like. They'll be better, certainly, but I still think that they're probably in that second or third tier of teams in the Eastern Conference, depending on how you want to split it up.
Danny Cunningham joining us on the show. Yeah, Danny, like, getting back to the Cavs and a lot of this, like, I think that where they improve is maybe on the margins. I think they were much closer to the whole Dean Wade, or I know that a lot of people would love to ship out Isaac Okoro, but we're closer to the Dean Wade, Isaac Okoro conversation than we are to anything else. Because, I don't know, you look at these last champions over these past 7 years. I don't know, man. I don't think anybody lays a blueprint right now. I think that you kind of, maybe it's better to stand pat instead of make these decisions and all of a sudden have a problem where you have to blow it up.
And I think the other aspect of things, too, is essentially every team that has won a championship in NBA history has gotten a stroke of luck at a certain point, right? Like, go back and think, and it's hard for me to think of teams that don't get lucky, not massively lucky, but lucky at some point. The Cavs got unlucky this year. It happens. It's unfortunate, but I do think that's part of it. I do think that there should be some changes to this roster, but I think doing anything drastic would probably be a little short-sighted. And I also think, too, it's really hard to make a drastic move and get better right now. And I do think that with where the Cavs are at in their timeline, they are who they are to a certain extent. I think their core is those three guys with Donovan, Darius, and obviously Evan. Around that, I think you can make changes, but I think it's easier to make those changes because you're not trying to bring in a core piece coming back. And if you're trying to do that, I think it's just really, really difficult with all of the restrictions that the Cavs have on them being a second apron team.
Danny Cunningham with us on the hotline. I'm trying to, as best I can, to watch these finals like I do every year and try to, you know, get something out of it in terms of how it can impact maybe the Cavaliers. And one thing I do notice, these teams have some guys who aren't household names, but have, in my estimation, become playoff risers. Guys that in the regular season, you wouldn't really necessarily want all that often. Not huge impactful players, but come playoff time can take their game to the next level. I think TJ McConnell has passed that test with flying colors. I think Alex Caruso is another guy. I'm wondering, do the Cavs have those types of players? Because these other teams seem to have multiple. I'd even say Siakam. Siakam's been way better in these series, way tougher to guard than it seems like he is in the regular season. Who are those players for the Cavs?
I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and say Donovan Mitchell, although I believe he is, just because he's a star player.
Yep,
and
I agree.
Don't know if that's exactly the caliber of guy.
I count him, Danny. He takes his game to another level come playoff time.
But when you're talking about a star player, like, that's the expectation. You know, I don't know if anybody the T.J. McConnell stuff, the Alex Caruso stuff, that's special because you're not necessarily expecting that out of role players. I think it's built into the responsibility of being a superstar the way Donovan is. I think, and it's funny to say this considering the last game he played was so bad, but for most of that Indiana series, I thought Max Strus was that guy. Like, I thought he took his game to a next level in that series, and obviously he had done that before as a member of the Miami Heat, but that is part of the area where the Cavs have come up short because they didn't have enough guys that did do that in terms of role players. I look at Max and then that conversation, I don't know if it stops, but it's not, there's not as much evidence for the other guys that you would hope that there would be after that series against the Indiana Pacers. So that really is the thing. And some of those things can be fickle from year to year. Like, I have no reason to think T.J. McConnell wouldn't be able to do this again next year, but I also don't know if he can. I mean, take a look back at, I guess, what Matthew Dellavedova did in the 2015 NBA Finals.
Ooh,
and then
that's a good
year
one.
Later, he was not in the rotation in the postseason. Like, they could not play him against the Warriors.
So Mozgov in 2015.
Right. Like, those guys were not in the rotation when the Cavs won the title. And that is just something, I think it's a pretty fickle thing, unfortunately.
Well, I will say this. You're right. Offensively, like, I wouldn't expect McConnell, even though he was excellent at breaking down defenses all year, and I think he should have played more minutes last night, especially Nembhard. Sure. Nembhard was disastrous for them, on both ends in the fourth quarter. But
he has, I think, at times kind of looked a little scared offensively in this series. Nembhard has.
Yeah, and that, we didn't see that guy in our series. That guy was a stone-cold killer in that series. So I do wonder when I think about, like, McConnell, like, you know they're going to bring the defense. Like, even though they might be limited athletically, they are going to bring defense that I just wonder, some of these Cavs, I just don't think you can set your watch to that in the same way. Like, offense comes and goes. I agree with you. You're going to have good series. You're going to have bad series. Offensively, you're going to have series where you don't shoot the three ball well. But defensively, that's the one thing that you can bring game in and game out.
And I think that's a fair observation. And when you look at the guys that you would count on the Cavs to be, you know, maybe you would have hoped Ty Jerome would have been a playoff riser. And against Miami, it looked like, oh, this guy might be that. And then against Indy, he was awful. But they don't have a lot of those guys coming off the bench that are defense first. I mean, Isaac Okoro is one of them, but he's not been a playoff riser. He's been, I think, the opposite of that, whatever you would want to call that, a playoff deflator in each of the past three postseasons that he's played in. So Dean Wade has not been somebody that I think has been a playoff riser because I think that he has played too tentatively offensively. I don't know that they've had the right combination of having a defense first guy that can go out and just kind of go supernova offensively for a short period of time and be really impactful in that way. That is an area where I think they're searching, but you also don't know what you have there until you get to the postseason. Because if I would have thought, everything we know about Ty Jerome, everything we saw with Ty Jerome during the regular season, I would have thought he had a great series against the Pacers, and it turned out it was one of his worst.
In that case, do we run risk of, and this is counter to the argument you and I have made about not trading away Darius Garland and everything, do we overrate our own players here sometimes?
I think every fan base overrates their own players, certainly. But I also think that when you're talking about a 25-year-old two-time All-Star and somebody that I think is still getting better, you should never be rushing to give those guys away, especially when they play a premium position in the NBA. Like, sure, we probably think of Darius Garland a little bit higher than other teams or other fan bases, certainly, but we also watched him for 82 games in the regular season and then the series against the first two games against Miami Heat where he was really good too. So I think that there is a little bit of that, but I also think that you need to look at who this guy's been as a player and say, if I were building a team, I would want that on my team.
All right, I have said, Danny, there is also a risk in not making moves. I know people think it's wide open in the East, so if you just run it back, you should be fine. Well, already we've had one big change, and the Orlando Magic are the first. Are you expecting craziness right now the way that some are around the league?
Yeah, I think that there will be other teams in the East that try and get better, that see an opportunity. And part of the reason why teams see an opportunity is because the Cavs didn't get it done in the postseason, obviously. The Boston Celtics are not going to be the same caliber of team next year. The Milwaukee Bucks, I do not think, are going to be a very good team at all next year. And it's wide open. I also think that there are going to be teams that look at Indiana. I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But I think some teams are going to look at what the Pacers have done and say, that's a little fluky. We don't expect that again next year. We think that this Eastern Conference is wide open. I would think Detroit is going to try and be a team that makes a big move and tries to really build themselves up after what they had was an incredibly successful season by their standards this past year. But I also look at the rest of the East and, okay, there may be three or four teams that can do this and really give themselves a chance. Other than that, some of these teams are so bad that it's not even worth it just because they're so far away, like the Charlottes of the world. Obviously, Washington's not in that place. Maybe Toronto goes out and makes a big swing, but even then, I don't know that the Raptors are a team that you would look at and say, yeah, they could be in the conference final.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Finals next year, and I know it's really early.
Danny, Detroit is the one I'm looking at. Like they have the assets, they have ammo, and they were pretty damn tough last year.
I think that they absolutely should try and make a move to get a stretch five, and it sounds like that's exactly what they want to do. And if they do that, I think they're a much better team. Now we still need to see them go through a postseason and win series, multiple ones, before I think you really have, you know, a lot of respect for what they can do. And I certainly think that JB Bickerstaff's a good coach, but he is a coach that has certainly had a lot of issues in the postseason that we have seen firsthand too, that I think still exists. Like, that just hasn't gone away. But I think the Pistons are a team that should believe that they can go for it now.
Danny, thank you for the time. All the best.
Anytime, guys.
Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs podcast, The Inside Shot on Substack, Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
If Darius Garland were healthy, I wonder what that series would have looked like. Not even saying that the Cavs would have won, but I think that they would have, at least as a team, looked much different. And that is something that I don't know if it's worth trading him just because he was hurt and it didn't go your way.
Hell yeah, Danny Cunningham from Locked On Cavs.
I do wonder, though.
Hell yeah, Danny. Thank you, bud.
We all were in agreement. We're not just giving Darius Garland away. But then you asked him about, do we overrate our players? I do wonder if we overrate Darius a little bit. So that's why we can't come up with a trade that makes sense, because we overrate him. Like, it's, we talk about playoff risers. He has not been that. And then we know he gets picked on defense.
You got some poop trades, man. It's just bad. It's bad.
But it's desperation in trying to find guys that actually can play in the playoffs and help you out. And he hasn't done it. Are we assuming he's ever going to do it? He is young, and he's a two-time All-Star. In the East, though.
Can we get like three of them first-round picks?
Yeah. Oh, for Darius? I think you could.
And then flip those into somebody else?
Yeah, that's the hard part with their...
Well, if you get the picks, you got to flip them.
Yeah.
And then front-load the contract.
Right.
By the way, the Magic still have flexibility. It looks like they are still going to make a couple signings because they're under the cap. They've got more flexibility.
How many aprons do they have?
They are not even in the first apron right now.
You know, good God, they're not even the first apron.
Cavs are like totally
spilling it all over themselves.
Cavs are totally hard cap. They have like no flexibility.
No, we are up against it. Speaking up against it, that wouldn't make any sense.
We are.
Can I share a little doodad with everybody here? Which one do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about somebody we know? Or do you want to talk? Okay. Happy birthday to Owen.
Yeah.
Owen doesn't make a big deal about his birthday, so I was afraid to do it. And I texted Owen, and Lima's like, yeah, let's talk about his birthday. If I say,
yeah, let's ambush him. We like a good ambush.
All right, but
I know you don't want to talk about your birthday.
We were just going to have Izzy sing you happy birthday.
Oh, but still, happy birthday. And then somebody didn't know how to edit it.
Somebody had no idea how to edit it, how to put it together, how to surprise you with
Keith
it.
Do so much more before.
It rhymes with Lynch Burrell.
Now, you get good deals on your birthday, don't you? You get way better deals than we do, than we have access to.
You get good deals on your birthday?
No.
Hmm.
You sure you don't get good deals on your birthday?
I thought Owen got the best deals on his birthday.
Yeah.
No.
You're good at getting deals.
Well, yeah, I look for deals, value. I'm a value shopper.
This is,
and I brag about my value.
Okay, can I use this as a transition, because it's a perfect transition?
I hope so, because we got to get out of this.
Okay,
because
I know you hate talking about your birthday. The price of sushi has gone up, and we think it's because of the show. So originally, the price of the sushi. Do we name the name of the restaurant?
What's do with the price of fish?
If I'm not going to get my cut, if I'm not going to get my cut of the sushi, then we're not going to do this. So I'm not going to name the name. So there is a sushi restaurant that seats 8 people. You get 24 courses. There's a story behind every course. It's like, yeah, I got in a boat and I cast into the water and then I pulled it out. And then guess what happened with this next fish?
True Steinbeckian.
It was $350 before booze, before tip, before everything, gratuity, everything. It's $350 per person. Somebody else got to you, Lyman. Tell everybody the story.
They said to even be considered down the line, because now they're sold out for, you know, months and months. They looked the next opening. The number has changed for the cost, the prefixed cost.
It's amazing.
It's now up to $450.
$450 a person for the sushi.
According to my source.
$450 a person after we talked about this on the air.
Why even stop
there?
Why
are we here? What are we doing?
If we're going to throw out arbitrary numbers, $550. And really,
I want a cut of it. If you're going to turn around and charge $100 more a person, that's $800 more.
Yes.
I can't even go eat your sushi. I would never do that. I want a cut of it.
Here's what I wonder. The higher the price goes up, is that the more exclusive and then the more sought-after experience? Because you know there's some neighborhoods in this community in Northeast Ohio where the money is no object, right? Certain waterfront communities.
I tend to disagree. That's how those people have money not being an object, is that they made it an object.
But for an experience, there will be no limit to their spending. Like, the higher it goes and the more ridiculous it goes, do people in those communities say, oh, now I got to have that experience. Now I have to see if it's worth it.
$450 for sushi. $450 for another piece of sushi. Now, do you have 25 courses?
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
How many more courses do you get for $100 more?
How could you upgrade the experience that much more to warrant $100?
Well, you got to do a lot to get $100 more out of base prices.
Yeah. And this is in New York City, and we don't have the tourism that like a Miami has, where people could come from all over.
And it's a tremendous question. If we talk about it more, does it turn into $500 a person? Does
then
it turn
all of a
into
sudden it's like Cleveland has the $1,000 dinner,
yes.
And now you've got people flying in.
And it's all because of us. I mean, I don't charge that much for a nice steakhouse.
No. People wondered when you were going to up the ante on the sloppy steak.
Well, the weather's too nice, so I closed down the outdoor patio.
As well,
rooftop. I closed it down.
We don't let you sniff the outside.
There's supposed to be thunderstorms tomorrow, so I might be able to get you a table tomorrow.
Now you're back in.
In the rooftop. Might be able to do that. Can I get the one person?
Ask Jeff about $450 sushi.
Jeff, in University Heights, you got 10 seconds. $450 sushi, would you get it?
No, heck no, man.
Thank you, Jeff. Steve and Solon, you got to... Steve got... Steve, oh, fine, we're done. Oh, now there's a thing.
No, we have a keypad.
What was that keypad there for?
What did you just do?
He just unlocked a warped board.
Who X'd out all the calls right there?
The phone screen just turned into Super Mario Brothers 3.
Did he mess with the phone screen?
Must have.
Did you mess with the phone screen?
No, I didn't touch anything.
Okay. Well done. All right, big thanks to everybody who joined us today. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. Oh, we have the podcast coming up at 10:15.
We do.
How could I forget? 10:15 Eastern on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
Where I can tell people why the lowest rated NBA Finals in quite some time could also be the biggest winner ever.
Hey, guys, Lyman's going to talk basketball. Tune in.
That's right.
Boy. Haven't deviated from that plan. I got a set on me to sit there and go, well, I was going to talk about basketball. Like, I won't regale you with tales of Orlando Pace.
Hey, you guys want to recap a Sopranos episode?
Hey, I'm thinking about another Mad Men rewatch. Think about going back
through. Let's talk about that for 20 minutes.
Thinking about going back through. The emerging podcast scene. Do you want me to do the list of movies I intend to watch with my sons before they graduate high school?
You've only teased this for 3 years.
I've been doing it because I want to do it. You guys never want to do it.
Today might be the day.
Shaft is on the list. The original Shaft. You got American Beauty on there. That's a good one. And Fargo.
Just turn off your mic now.
Reservoir Dogs. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's a good one.
8mm.
Hey.
Sounds good.
Where's your entourage now?
Cool, I got on the last show.
Loser town, loser fans, and you guys are a loser show.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.